On today's episode, we are joined by former Futures Female winner and founder and CEO of Making Space, Keely Catwells. Keely joins us to talk about her career journey, how she is defying the odds, and truly making the world a more inclusive space for all. To find out more about Keely and Making Space, please be sure to reach out after the episode. Enjoy. Hi, Keely. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So excited to have you join us. For those that don't know, Keely is a past Futures Female winner, winning the award at Advertising Week New York in 2022. Is that right?
Yes, I think so. Time flies.
It sure does. I like to start all these episodes by kind of hearing about you from you. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your career, and you know how you got where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So how far back do we want to go? So where I am today is not, it wasn't the plan. I originally wanted to be a dancer and be in the creative industries in a different capacity than I am today. But I ended up becoming disabled when I was 17. I spent about 3-4 years in hospital. And then when I came out the other end, realized how inaccessible the world was to a newly disabled person or to disabled people in general. And then when I moved to the US, I ended up losing a job due to disability discrimination. So that was really the light bulb moment for me on kind of just, I have to do something. And this is happening to so many people globally. So I originally founded a company called C Talent. And I called it See Talent because disabled people usually do not have access to option A or option B, and we have to create our own option C. And See Talent was a talent agency that represented disabled talent and focused on increasing disability representation within film, TV, and media. See Talent was acquired by Wayler in 2022. And since then, I've left and started my next company, which is Making Space. So that is a very short version of a very long and complicated story.
Amazing. Well, before we go on, thank you for all that you do for the disabled community and for everything that you've done already. It's more on the personal side, but my father actually became disabled suddenly about a year and a half ago. And it really, you know, everything you said really resonates, and I'm sure resonates with our listeners too. And, you know, I always known that we were lacking and we didn't do a good job for the disabled community. But it's one of those things that when you see it firsthand or when it affects you, it's kind of becomes top of mind, and it's the first thing you notice. So from myself and my dad, I can't thank you enough for everything that you're doing for the community.
Thank you. I hope he's okay. People often forget that disability can happen at any time to anyone, any point. Like, we are all really just pre-disabled. Even, you know, it's everyone will likely become disabled at some point in their life, whether that be temporarily or permanently. But
yeah, scary. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, he is. It's scary though. You know, what happens in the blink of an eye, which I don't think people realize, and work that you're doing is so important because of how often it happens. I mean, he lived 64 years, you know, no disabilities. And then the blink of an eye, he unfortunately suffered a massive stroke. And now he's primarily, you know, he can walk with the cane, but he's primarily in a wheelchair. And, you know, if there weren't people like you and, you know, companies like Making Space out there, you know, I can't even begin to imagine for younger people who experience something similar. So thank you. I don't want to get too personal and then I'll start crying, but did have to say that before we keep going on. So you mentioned Making Space, and I mentioned it too. Can you tell us a little bit more about it and, you know, the story behind it, how you started it, when you started it? I think the listeners would be really excited to hear about it.
So Making Space is a talent acquisition and learning platform for companies to train, access, and retain pre-qualified disabled talent. And one of the main reasons I wanted to build this company was, one, first and foremost, disabled people are still twice more likely to be unemployed than non-disabled people, and twice more likely to live in poverty than non-disabled people, less likely to finish education, college, and graduate high school. So I wanted to create a way that companies could seamlessly tap into a very talented and oftentimes overlooked pool of people, and create a platform that benefits both talent and companies. And something I noticed at Sea Talent was we also had a consulting side of the company. And oftentimes we would unfortunately be deprioritized as soon as budgets got cut or times got hard. And that really infuriated me. So I also wanted to create something that could fundamentally be tied to the business strategy. And we really tie impact to that business strategy. So we wouldn't be deprioritized, that disabled people would be front and center and valued all throughout the year and not just when there's big healthy budgets to pull from. So making space really ensures that companies are having a more streamlined and efficient approach with retention, recruitment, reducing turnover. And then also at the same time, we're democratizing free and accessible education for disabled people.
Amazing. And you're doing some amazing work, which we'll get into a little bit later. But, you know, you've talked a little bit about surface level and at a high level, kind of, you know, the challenges that the disabled community faces overall. But I'm sure throughout your career, you've also faced a lot of challenges yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that, you know, you met along the way, besides any that, you know, you may have alluded to already, and kind of how did those specifically really spark something inside you to really want to start change and, you know, begin making space and even making Sea Talent first?
Yeah, I think representation was something that I have been so cognizant of since I became disabled. When I was in hospital, I was just craving seeing people in my situation, connecting with other disabled people, people who were also going through misdiagnosis and all of the different things that I was going through at the time. And I just remember watching and scrolling through social media, just not finding anything that I felt truly represented my experiences. And it was so disappointing and it directly affected my mental health. So representation has always been so important to me, and that's really what Sea Talent was born out of. And same with Sea Talent. I mean, I think it's been fantastic seeing the improvements within Hollywood and now seeing projects like Coda and like C on Apple TV and all of these different shows, which are increasing the representation out there, both in front and behind the camera. But it's still lacking, still only, I think, 2% of all on-screen representation is disabled people, whilst like 16% of the global population is disabled. So there's still a lot of work to do. And I should mention too, the other side of making space. So whilst we have this tech side in our platform, we also have Making Space Media, which is focused on telling the untold stories of disabled people. And I'm in partnership with my co-founder, Sophie Morgan, who is a amazing disability advocate and TV host. And Making Space Media secured a first look deal with Hello Sunshine, which is Reese Witherspoon's company. And it's been fantastic working on projects with them. We are co-producing a documentary, which will be released later this year. And we are really trying to replicate what they have done for women and how they've changed the narrative for women at Hello Sunshine and do the exact same thing for disability representation and disabled people. And of course, at the same time, ensure that disabled people are getting access to long-term, meaningful employment opportunities within this industry and beyond as well.
Oh, well, I can't wait for the documentary. You'll have to let us know when it is officially able to talk about, and we will can't wait to watch. But you mentioned the partnership with Hello Sunshine, you know, and working with Reese's company. And, you know, that kind of leads me to the next question of, I'm sure there's been some real, you know, pinch me moments, especially as you kind of build these careers, you know, even with the acquisition from Whaler, you know, some really incredible and unbelievable things that you've been able to succeed at. Can you share a success story or particular milestone that you're, you know, very proud of and that other women and our listeners might find inspiring?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I think it's so easy to get so wrapped up in the frustrations of the day to day and the constant education and the constant trying to bash down doors that are just still just so difficult to break down. And on top of that, as a disabled person, you're dealing with your own issues, and we often call it like the disability tax and medical admin and all of the things that people don't see. Especially, I mean, we do oftentimes hide behind social media, and I've definitely done that myself as well. So I love talking about the highlights and the big amazing moments, and that it's definitely also worth mentioning the struggles that happen every single day behind the scenes. But I will say a big highlight that has happened this week that is definitely a pinch me moment and something that we are incredibly proud of is our partnership and our work with NBC Universal on the broadcasting of the Olympics and Paralympics. So back in October 2023, thank you. Back in October 2023, we announced our partnership with NBC Sports, and we were using both, we were using both Making Space, our tech platform, and then also Making Space Media. And we created job-specific, skill-based education to pre-qualify and train and upskill disabled hosts, analysts, and play-by-plays. And those talent that we've trained and the people who've gone through the platform, they've been hired. And it marks a historic moment where NBC have hired the first ever disabled hosts for the broadcasting of the Paralympics. So it's pretty amazing to be a small piece of history. And that came out this week. So that's definitely a highlight top of mind.
Oh, such amazing work. Congratulations. That's so much to be proud of. You know, you mentioned kind of when you're in it, particular, it can be difficult. So it's nice to reflect on these big moments. You know, I think that you're obviously doing work, you know, that is really important and is really shaping and changing the lives of people around you who need it most. And I think even when, you know, we're doing work that might not be as so real life important, we can even get lost in it. So I can't imagine how tough it must be, you know, when it's something that truly matters. You know, with that in mind, I'm sure you've also seen kind of your fair share of setbacks and obstacles that I'm sure it always hasn't been smooth sailing with C-Talent or with Making Space. How do you stay motivated in these, you know, in these moments of setbacks or frustration? And is there any advice that you can share for some folks who might be feeling the same?
You know, I'm so grateful for the disabled community and the advocates who have been fighting for decades to get to where we are today. We stand on the shoulders of so many incredible people who have shattered the glass ceiling and enabled us to make the progress that we're able to then carry on today. And I oftentimes, on the very difficult days, refer back to Judy Heumann's book, Being Human. Judy Heumann was an incredible disability activist. We sadly lost her last year, but she fought for Section 504 and really laid the groundwork and the foundation for the ADA. And whilst our work is, we do a lot of policy work and a decent amount of work around legislation, but I think what Judy did was enable us to also think about not just having to fight for our basic human rights on a day-to-day basis. We can go after things like increased representation in film, TV, and media, and we don't have to continuously just be fighting to be seen as first-class citizens as opposed to third-class citizens, which the disabled community has been seen as for, unfortunately, such a long time. So I would say surrounding oneself with the community. And I think that also allows us to take that time to breathe and to take those days off. Because I've often found myself being like, I have to do this every day because there are still so many issues that exist. People, there's still sub-minimum wage. There's still all of these truly dire issues. But then you go on social media or you connect with your community and you're like, there are hundreds of thousands of other people doing the same work. And it's okay to take a day off. And I'm so motivated by the community who are teaching me so much on this journey and who have been doing the work for much longer than I've even been alive.
And community does go back to that, you know, the notion that you were talking about earlier too, of representation, you know, having people around you and really building this, you know, this network, is can be invaluable. So I think that's such great advice, to really lean into the folks that you surround yourself with and make sure that they're people that, you know, can build you up. And that's really important no matter what you're doing.
It's so important. I feel like having your like favorites in your phone, like who are the people that you are going to call? And like Sophie, my co-founder, she is definitely that person now for me. And yeah, you have to have those people in your life. And my mom is also one of those people. She usually receive phone calls from me either when I am like so frustrated, I'm crying, I'm so annoyed, or I'm like celebrating the biggest win. I just love having those people that you can just call at any time with any emotion.
Yes, you and I have that in common. My mom is often the receiver of both happy but often frustrated phone calls. Now, you know, with this community, and particularly with the Futures Female community, we talk a lot about mentorships. I'm sure, and I'd imagine that you've become a mentor to many with this work that you're doing. But what has your experience been with mentorship? Have you had mentors that have helped bring you to where you are? Do you mentor others? You know, what's your view, and why or how do you see that it's important?
I try and see a mentor in everyone I meet, in a way. I feel like when I was younger, I would try and find that perfect version of a mentor. I would try and seek them out. I'd go to events. I'd ask people that I barely even knew, can you be my mentor? And just not feel like I could ever find the right person. But then as soon as I started to realize that everyone I meet can teach me something, that changed my mindset. And I was actually able to learn much more and find people and really genuinely connect with them on such a deep level, rather than just be on that constant search. And that's really benefited me. But I will say specifically, I was a part of the Tory Burch Foundation Fellowship, and the Tory Burch Foundation community has been a wonderful group of mentors and peer to be a mentorship too. And I've loved that very intentional kind of being put together with people that can support you. Again, I mentioned social media a few times, both in positive ways and negative ways, but I will say I have used social media too to also kind of find mentors and people that I can consistently pull different pieces of expertise to, and also try and support other people as well, and just DM them and just be open and available to questions whilst still being able to maintain energy and boundaries, because I think that's also it's easy to feel like you have to be there for everyone all of the time, and it's okay to sometimes say, no, I'm just gonna be there for myself at this moment in time, but support you in other ways.
I love that what you said initially, if you try to find a mentor in everyone you meet or everyone you speak to. I think that's so important and such a unique perspective that gets lost on a lot of us. You know, at the end of the day, we're all always learning, so I think that is such a wise and valuable piece of advice. So thank you for sharing that too. That's definitely something that I will kind of file back in my mind and keep top of mind as I meet new people.
Love that. Thank you.
Okay, so let's circle back to making space a little bit. As we look towards Disability Pride Month coming up in July, what are some easy steps, you know, that organizations can be taking to be more inclusive, and how can making space help? Obviously, we don't want this whole episode to become a sales pitch or anything, but I think that the platform that you have is really unique and special and can help folks a lot. So how can we learn from you and from making space?
Thank you. I will say, I think it's very interesting when we speak to companies and ask around the existing disabled population within their companies. And oftentimes they're either not quite sure, there's so many people who have not disclosed, or there's a low number, or they maybe have a large number, but they don't know necessarily where those individuals sit within the organization. But what we've noticed at Making Space is the majority of disabled people, A, will not disclose because of fear of discrimination, fear that they're going to be looked at differently, that they're not going to be considered for promotions. And then that unfortunately leads to the lack of getting accommodations, which leads to either them leaving the company because they can't thrive, they can't bring them whole their whole selves to work, or they just can't progress and climb that kind of ladder within that organization. So I would say, first and foremost, try and understand your employees and actively showcase and advertise the different things that that company has in place that supports their disabled employees. Because we've spoken with a lot of companies where they're like, we have a great accommodations process. We can do X, Y, Z. And they're actually, they've got some fantastic systems in place. They just don't tell their people about it. So I would definitely look at that as an option. And with Making Space, the way that we can come in and support is we provide skill-based, job-specific education, and that can either be for the talent acquisition process, or it can be for existing employees to support with their career advancement and career mobility. So we would love to start getting more disabled people into leadership positions, decision-making roles, and make sure that even those folks in entry-level positions are truly getting that opportunity to succeed and have that career mobility.
And we hear so much, I think, about, you know, DE&I and inclusion and, you know, all these kind of things that people are talking about because they almost feel they need to be talking about. But, you know, I think it's important, you know, I think if as people listen to this and as people kind of learn more about Making Space, I think it's important to realize that, you know, inclusion and DE&I means many things. And, you know, being accessible for the disabled community is one of them. And that should be top of mind also.
It should. It really should. And something I think I already mentioned, which I'm so incredibly passionate about, is tying impact to business strategy. Because, and I will say, it is important to recognize the economic value that disabled people bring to an organization, the additional buying power of disabled people from a consumer standpoint, and all of these other very, very important stats. But I will also say that we shouldn't have to continuously legitimize our existence within these spaces based on the economic power that we can bring. But it is worth noting that companies are missing out on an incredibly talented pool of people, and leaving money and talent on the table. So it's cool to look at both of those sides of things.
Yeah. So what's next? What's next for you and for Making Space? And, you know, what can we expect as we look towards the rest of 2024?
So we, of course, have our documentary coming out, which we are very, very excited about. And then we have some exciting partnerships on the Making Space platform. There will be a lot more education on the platform, which directly leads to job opportunities for disabled people. So I'm very excited to announce those. And we also already and encourage people to sign up to Making Space to take the existing courses on the platform. There's one that has been such a labor of love, our partnership with Netflix, where we've been creating a pipeline, pre-qualified pipeline of graphic designers for them and key artists. So definitely anyone interested in key art, definitely check that out. But yeah, we're excited about what we're doing both on the tech side and representation side in the with media.
Oh, amazing. Lots of exciting things ahead for sure. So finally, like to close out all episodes, like to close out all these episodes with one piece of advice and just kind of one thing you'd like to leave our listeners with. If there's one thing they take away from this, what would you want it to be?
Oh, that's a very good question. I would say to anyone who maybe is disabled, does have a long-term chronic health condition, may not even self-identify as disabled just yet, or maybe you do, know your rights and also remember that it is okay to be proud of being disabled and still have a complicated relationship with your medical condition. That has taken me a very, very, very long time to learn, but I wish I knew that when I was younger and just starting out on this journey. So I think that would be it.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Keely. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for telling us more about Making Space and all the incredible work you're doing. And can't wait to continue to watch it grow and watch you shine.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a colleague. and leaving us a review on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you again in the next episode.